Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And certainly something that is so important to our community is its connectivity when it comes to air travel. I'm talking about the Colorado Springs Airport. And to talk more about this, we are so pleased to have with us Greg, describe what your title is, Director of Aviation, there it is, for the Colorado Springs Airport, Greg Phillips. Greg, welcome to The Extra.
Hi, Shannon. Thanks for the chance to visit with people and talk a little bit about how our airport's growing.
Yeah, I was going to call you the head honcho. That is a good title too, right?
Chief bottle washer and cleaner upper. I'll answer about
anything.
Well, just happy to be here.
Colorado Springs Airport is known as Colorado's small airport. Small in this case being convenience. Colorado Springs Small Airport also brings you friendliness, safety as well. And when you're talking about developing the airport, certainly no discussion about this could be complete without talking about the growth that the airport has experienced. So, Greg, first of all, let's talk about air service and where we stand right now with how many markets we're able to serve and how many customers we're serving.
Sure, Shannon. So we've seen a significant amount of growth, particularly since Southwest Airlines started service in March of last year, 2021, to the point that for the first 6 months of this year, where we have final numbers, January through June, we have the most number of passengers through the airport than we've had since the year 2001. So 20 plus years. So that, you know, constitutes a significant amount of growth. Our carriers, we have five air carriers, folks may know, but the big carriers, American, Delta, United, and Southwest, what we call legacy carriers. And then we have an ultra-low-cost carrier with Frontier Airlines. So we serve, you know, largely our direct flights are to the large hub airports that spread across the country, such as Las Vegas, Phoenix, Sky Harbor, Dallas, both Dallas DFW and Dallas Love Field, Chicago, both O'Hare and Midway, and of course Denver as a way station for both United and Southwest to connect to the world. Denver right now being the third busiest airport in the world.
And it certainly when it comes to all those travelers, that has been good news for the airlines that are going through there. And the most since 2001, that has to be indicative that Southwest was right and correct in its judgment to choose to expand to Colorado Springs, don't you think?
Absolutely. You know, it also says a lot about this community, that this community is hungry for air service out of its hometown airport. And we certainly take note of that. And it's certainly something that we at the airport take very, very seriously. We have a team at the airport that works nonstop to analyze our air service, to communicate with the airlines, to work on ways that we can bring in additional air service. You know, it's a challenge, I'll say, but that's what our job is, and that's what we're trying to do every day.
And speaking as someone who has lived in a town that was pretty much the same size as Colorado Springs, whose airport, the town's airport, did not have this kind of level of service, it really makes the difference in what you're able to do and to plan when you have an accessible airport that can get you all over the country and in many ways all over the world with just maybe one transfer or maybe two. Let's talk about the flights that are offered. Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about the flights that are offered and what that means in terms of your reach as a traveler.
Sure. So you know, everybody recognizes Denver for the massive hub airport that it is. And, you know, Colorado Springs is not that. You know, we are, as you already noted, Colorado's small airport. So much of our focus what I think people recognize is how easy it is to get in and out of the airport. But the routes that we serve, while they may go directly to large hub airports, they do connect you then. And I think that's the important thing for, people to recognize is if we want to grow the airport, we have to use the airport. So if people just continue to drive to Denver and fly out of Denver, then the airlines take note of that. Why would they add extra flights if they see that everybody seems just fine driving to Denver and flying out? So now that said, there are some amenities here at Colorado Springs that I think people would be useful to take note of. And one is that fares have come down. So with the competition that we get from Southwest, in particular with their arrival, but with the other carriers as well, that does put downward pressure on prices. And we've seen that. And we see that on actual data. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you if you look for a flight to a specific destination on a specific date at a specific time, you may find a significant difference between Colorado Springs and Denver. But I tell you too that if you look, particularly if you have a little flexibility and you're looking 30 days out or more, that you may be surprised to find that you can find actually a cheaper flight out of Colorado Springs. So we're seeing that, and that's real data from the Department of Transportation that shows our fares are closer on average to Denver's fares than they ever have been.
Right. And I know anecdotally that that has been the case with my family. I mean, we have a number of trips that we plan as well as business travel that we do. And look before you book. You often are surprised to find the cheaper fares out of Colorado Springs. And, that's good for the airport and for all of us travelers.
Absolutely. So, Southwest having brought five destinations to Colorado Springs when they started says a lot about those five destinations, but it says even more about the almost 90 destinations that you can connect with on relatively easy connections from any of those five hubs. So we just encourage people to look at that, and if you're recognize that you may have a short transfer time at the hub airport to get you where you're going, you'll still get there.
And this is the way that we can all help Colorado Springs grow, the Colorado Springs Airport, I mean, as well as the region grow. But when it comes to the airport adding more flights to different destinations, if the airlines see that there's an appetite for air travel out of the Springs, won't that maybe bring about some change?
Absolutely. I'll say that Southwest Airlines, having started here, does make all the other airlines, air carriers, take note, and they have. And so we have ongoing conversations. We met recently with a number of different air carriers. We have a set of meetings that we're going to in October, actually, that we'll be meeting again with air carriers. And what we hear repeatedly is that they have significant interest in Colorado Springs. It's a sort of moving a juggernaut, so it takes some time and effort for an airline to make a decision and then pony up the cost to actually establish a presence at a new airport. But we feel pretty strongly that we're heading the right direction, both with our existing carriers. We know that Southwest Airlines intends to grow and wants to grow at Colorado Springs. And there are other carriers that are eyeballing Colorado Springs pretty hard right now.
Interesting. Well, Greg Phillips, Director of Aviation for the Colorado Springs Airport. Sounds like you might have a takeoff going right now. We need to take a break right now, so that's good. When we come back, we will be talking to Greg about air travel and how it supports the tourism industry, as well as fares, what those fares are actually reflecting, that and more when we come back with more of The Extra. Welcome back to The Extra, and we're talking about the Colorado Springs Airport. It is the centrally located travel hub that helps get you to your destinations for places near and far, and we're talking about sometimes very far. Greg Phillips, who is the aviation director for the Colorado Springs Airport, has been joining us as our guest. And Greg, let's talk about how air travel supports the tourism industry in the Pikes Peak region. Do we see direct correlations between expansion of flights and higher tourism numbers?
Absolutely, Shannon. First, the Colorado Springs Airport has been identified by the state of Colorado through an economic impact study they've done as being a significant economic engine to the community, and tourism is a big part of that, to the tune of $3.4 billion every year. So, Colorado Springs Airport obviously is the gateway to the community, and particularly for people outside of driving range, it's the primary gateway to the community. So what we see and what we hear from Visit COS, from the Downtown Partnership, the people that are traveling, that are coming to Colorado Springs, you know, do so often through the Colorado Springs Airport. One of the things we saw also on the business side is that, you know, business people travel to and from the airport as well. And in the recent space symposium, what we learned from the Space Foundation was that more people were flying through and into the Colorado Springs, through the Colorado Springs Airport, than they were through Denver International. So, you know, having more service here, having the flights that bring people in from the different carriers is a huge benefit on the tourism side as well as on the business side.
Mm-hmm. We may get people who don't like the, when you go to DIA, there are certain inconveniences that are kind of built in, you know, those long ramps to get you to where you want to go. And, you know, you have to take the elevators up and down and all over the place. And certainly Colorado Springs Airport is a lot easier to navigate. So you may find people that are saying, you know, I don't really want to spend half my vacation navigating the airport. That may be an exaggeration there. Greg, with the growth in traffic, though, we should mention that even though you mentioned earlier some destinations where you only go through one connecting hub, there are plenty of just places that you can get to with just one stop.
Absolutely. So, of course, our nonstop destinations that I named, you know, in the last segment, Denver, which, of course, you know, people are generally not flying from here just to Denver, but are connecting going through there. But Denver is one of the direct destinations. Dallas, both Dallas-Fort Worth and Dallas-Love, Chicago, Chicago Midway, and Chicago O'Hare. Las Vegas, Los Angeles, Phoenix, you know, are all airports served directly from Colorado Springs. And typically those flights are, you know, 2 to 2.5 hours, except obviously the Denver flight, which is about 15 minutes. You know, from there, connections through the key networks of American, Delta, United, get anywhere from those large airports in their network. So that's what the benefit of flying out of Colorado Springs is, a connection not just to the direct destinations that we serve nonstop, but also the ability to access their networks and to get to destinations in all their networks.
Yeah, it is truly sometimes probably like putting together a puzzle piece, trying to figure out all the places that you could go if you chose to, just with some easy connections. I mean, because you're talking getting to Mexico, getting to Europe, you can do that right through the Colorado Springs Airport and without too much bother.
Absolutely. I talked to somebody recently who's headed to Europe and they're leaving from Colorado Springs. They have a good connection in Chicago and direct from Chicago overseas. So, you know, that you can make the connections through Colorado Springs And of course, you know, as you talked about DIA, Denver International Airport, it's a tremendous asset in the national airspace system. And we consider, you know, our service to be complementary to Denver. The difference, of course, is if you're flying out of Denver, you're going to have to leave your house probably 4 hours or more before your scheduled flight. To get up there, to get parked, to get in, to get through the ticket line, to get through the checkpoint, et cetera. And that's not the case at the Colorado Springs Airport. At Colorado Springs Airport, you know, certainly we still tell people, get here 90 minutes, you know, to 2 hours before your flight just to ensure there are no issues. But, you know, it's not atypical for somebody to get in the parking lot and within 15 minutes be at their gate, you know, ready to go. So those are the conveniences out of Colorado Springs. And, of course, the one that I think is the best is that when you land back in Colorado Springs, you're home. You know, you don't have to get back to your car, take a shuttle, drive all the way down from Denver. You're home. And that's the benefits of our Colorado small airport,
right,
our hometown airport.
Certainly, certainly. If you live in the Springs area, you have maybe, what, a 10, 15-minute drive in your home, and that's pretty much like within a five-minute walk to get to your car if you are parking your car there at the airport. We have much more to talk about the Colorado Springs Airport with Greg Phillips, Director of Aviation for the airport. We need to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be talking not just about airport growth, but also Peak Innovation Park. That is growing as well. Keep on listening for The Extra. Welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. Well, we've been talking about the Colorado Springs Airport, otherwise known as Colorado's small airport. And in this case, in the case of COS, small means the airport is big on friendliness, safety, and convenience. And when it comes to development in air traffic, as we see things grow, we also see many advantages to choosing, to looking before you book. Look before you book. That is their slogan along with Colorado's small airport. And we have Greg Phillips, Director of Aviation, on. And Greg, we're going to be talking a little bit about fares in just a moment. But before we do, let's focus on the Peak Innovation Park. And for those who may not know it, can you describe what Peak Innovation Park is and how it's growing?
Absolutely, Shannon. First, the Colorado Springs Airport, you know, is a big piece of property overall. It's 7,200 acres. It's the same size as JFK and LaGuardia and New York combined. So, you know, it's a big piece of property, most of which, of course, is aviation specific and focused on aviation related activities, but there is a certain amount of land that really doesn't have and can't have access to the runways and taxiways and all that. And that is something that the FAA has agreed with and has allowed us to develop as what we call a non-aeronautical business park or Peak Innovation Park. So Peak Innovation Park right now is just around 1,500 acres of land. And what that land allows us to do is, besides just leaving it as a big open grass field that Pronghorn can run through, to develop it and to provide opportunities for businesses and for industrial development. And that's what we've done. So we've seen a ton of growth in the last several years in Peak Innovation Park, and a huge benefit to the airport is that the revenue that comes from those businesses being there, whether it's lease payments or it's the sale of a piece of land, all that money comes back to the airport, and that allows us to keep our rates down, our what we call rates and charges to the airlines, to keep our costs low. So people may be surprised to know or may know that the Colorado Springs Airport charges airlines about a third of what an airline is charged to fly out of Denver, and that's important to us. So that's a huge benefit of Peak Innovation Park, in addition to the jobs, the economic benefit, everything else that the businesses you see in the park bring right now.
And we're also talking about a hotel that's going in, a hotel, and it has meeting spaces as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what we see that the hotel just broke ground last month, and so it will take, you know, something over a year for it to be built and open. But that's going to be a Marriott Residence Inn, and it's exciting to drive by and recognize that we're going to have a hotel right here on the airport property. The expectation is that when that hotel is completed, that another hotel right next to it, a Marriott Courtyard, will begin construction. And right now the plan is that between the two of those, there will be some limited meeting space that people could take advantage of here for business or other purposes. So super excited about that, and think that that will help not just folks in Colorado Springs directly, but people who may be traveling from our service area, which extends as far south as northern New Mexico and western Kansas, because there aren't other great choices from many of those areas to catch a flight.
Right, right. And I'm thinking, I have a lot of relatives down in the Arkansas River Valley, and they, when they are flying out making a trip, I mean, it, usually those flights leave really early in the morning. So they are spending a night near the airport. And oftentimes that would mean DIA. But this, again, opens up some of those people who may choose DIA because you have convenience of an airport or of a hotel right by the airport. And then they may look at Colorado Springs Airport as being another more viable option and definitely closer.
Absolutely. You know, and if you're coming from Trinidad or Walsenburg or, you know, northern New Mexico, you just saved an hour and a half drive, you know, or more, not having to go up to Denver.
Right, right. And Peak Innovation Park is also supporting development of other businesses and other jobs being grown in that corridor. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. So listeners may recognize that Amazon is a strong presence in the park right now with three separate facilities. They have a what they call a last mile distribution facility, a sort center, or they call sortation center, and a fulfillment center. And the fulfillment center, the largest of the three buildings, is 3.7 million square feet, the largest building in a six-state area, we reckon. And if you're getting your packages in a day right now when you order from Amazon, well, you kind of know why. But they have the approximately up to 5,000 employees that they are or are hiring, you know, to fill those three facilities. So, the, you know, that's a significant economic, you know, boon right there, significant jobs. I think people are maybe aware from the news some of the benefits that Amazon is offering right now. But the other, you know, businesses that we have on that airport, like Northrop Grumman, like Aerospace Corporation, who just made a built a big addition that will have their grand opening early next month. These are all great additions in the business park and importantly in our community, because they are economic, you know, contributors to our community, both in jobs and, you know, taxes, you know, money that helps replenish the general fund to be used for services around the community.
Well, we want to talk much more about what's being done with the airport, and something that's going to probably be of interest to a lot of people is the master plan. And that lays out some of these ideas for future expansion and where things will be addressed. When we come back, we'll be talking to Greg Phillips about that, the Colorado Springs Airport Master Plan. You're listening to The Extra. Welcome back to The Extra, and our guest today, Greg Phillips, Director of Aviation and with the Colorado Springs Airport. And of course, one of the big tasks that the airport has, that the planners have, is what to do in the future. Where do we go from here? What initiatives need to continue to be pushed forward so that the airport develops in a way that is beneficial to the community, beneficial to the traveling public. And Greg, the master plan, I guess, is setting along the blueprint for that, huh?
Absolutely. The airport master plan, which we are just bringing to conclusion, is a 20-year look at how we would anticipate the airport demand to grow and subsequently the airport facilities need to grow. So we've spent the last year with working with a consultant named JVation to help us put together the master plan, to do outreach to our community from the current tenants and users at the airport, airlines, our concessionaires, other users on the general aviation side of the airport, but also with the public itself. So we've held a number of meetings over the course of the last year to get input and to look at the facilities that we have now, to look at our anticipated demand through the next 20 years, and then from there to identify what facilities are we going to need to add or change or modify in that 20-year period here. And so it's been an enlightening process, a great process, and we're excited at what the future holds, and we want to make sure that we're looking ahead and that we're preparing for it so that we're ready to meet that demand.
And what specifically kind of will be addressed?
So we look at everything. So in the master plan, you know, we look at the facilities we have. And, of course, when you think about an airport and think about the runways, the taxiways, you know, the terminal, the ground transportation, the roadways in and out of the airport, and then the facilities that we need to operate and maintain the airport, like our maintenance facilities, all the navigation aids, the airport traffic control tower, et cetera, et cetera. And so we look at all those. So what we see looking forward, well, we've divided the master plan, the projects that we've identified into three phases, sort of a short-term, mid-term, and long-term phase. And it's, I think, important to note that all the projects that we identified, of course, you know, we're using a crystal ball to anticipate demand, but we're not going to build anything that we don't know we need and we can't prove that we need and also that we have the funding for in hand. So we're fortunate. And, you know, I think, you know, many people may know that the airport is an enterprise of the city and takes no tax dollars, not a dime, from the general fund. So none of sales and use tax or property taxes in the community go to the airport. Effectively, we run like a business. So the revenue we bring in is the money we spend. Now, there are some federal grants that we seek out and use, and those help with construction projects. But again, when we talked about the business park, this is a great benefit that we have that many airports don't have, and that is Peak Innovation Park and the revenue that comes from that, which helps us do these projects. So as we look forward, what we would anticipate is there are some modifications for efficiency and to meet existing standards on some of the runway taxiways, but you're not going to see another runway. You're not going to see significant sort of increased taxiways being built or developed. But beyond that, you know, we look at the terminal and the roadways, and we recognize that parking's an issue right now. So we're looking at ways that we can improve how we have parking. Certainly, we'd love to do covered parking, and we're examining opportunities there. But we want to do all of these projects without raising the cost of a ticket for our travelers. So, I mean, therein lies the challenge. We're up to it, right, though, and we're excited about the future.
Well, great. And bringing it back, this conversation to the cost of the ticket, just as we close out here, it's been a tough summer for travelers. I mean, it doesn't seem like it slowed down travelers through Colorado Springs Airport at all, but it's been a tough summer for people who are maybe used to being able to get to their destinations a little more cheaply. And with gas prices higher, they face that challenge because those were translated into fares. What do you see in terms of fares and how fares will keep pace with really the preferences of the traveling public?
Boy, it's certainly a challenge right now. The airlines are struggling with pilot shortages, crew shortages, flight attendant shortages, and all those things, you know, have made it tough, particularly in the summer. Demand has certainly surged back, but the air carriers, you know, to put it in the words of one of the vice presidents of network planning that I talked to, is they have, you know, a number of aircraft sitting on the ground that they just can't fly because they don't have the pilots and crews. And, you know, we've seen those kind of delays and cancellations all across the network. I would say we see fewer of those at Colorado Springs than some of the large airports have reported, but it's still a problem, and it's a challenge that all the carriers have. What we would say is this will resolve itself. You know, it may take some time, but what I can tell you is that the air carriers that we talk to all say that 2022 is sort of is a year of more or less stabilization, that 2023, if they're able to resolve these issues, will be a year of growth again. And what that means, we believe, is a year of growth for the Colorado Springs Airport.
Well, we certainly all benefit when you succeed with the Colorado Springs Airport, you and the staff and all the airline employees, as well as, you know, pilots and flight attendants, et cetera, baggage handlers, and even the bus drivers. I really like the bus drivers we have at the Colorado Springs Airport. They're nice. They'll stop even in the middle of their route just because and let you catch up. So I really like that. Not like that unnamed airport to the north, which sometimes passes you by even when you're waiting there with your luggage. Let's give a big thank you to Greg Phillips, Director of Aviation for the Colorado Springs Airport. Greg, thank you for joining us here on The Extra.
Thanks, Shannon. It's sure nice to talk to you and to talk to listeners. There's so much more going on at the airport, and we look forward to seeing, you know, our community, your listeners, come visit us. Fly cause.
Yeah, and if you'd like to find out more, please do check out the website, flycos.com. That'll get you all the information you need, as well as probably some ideas for travel destinations that you didn't think about. Greg, thank you for joining us, and to our listeners, thank you for spending this hour of conversation with us here on The Extra. Tom Martino is up ahead. You've been listening to KRDO News Radio.